We're on Daf Mem Tesam and Aleph, the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. And we're going to talk about Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. So it's now the 14th of Nisan and Shabbos, and Motzi Shabbos will have the Seder, and Yom Rishon will be the first day of Pesach. Arbasa Shechalios B'Shabbos. We have a problem because the Torah says, Ach Bayom Arishon Tash Bisu Siyar Mi Batechem. And yet we cannot, l'chora, destroy our chametz on Pesach. Now, if we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Ein bir chametz el sreifa, then there's no question about it. Sreifa is one of the av malachas. We cannot violate the Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of bir chametz. But if you hold like the chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, that hashpasasa b'chol davar, then presumably you can find a method of bir chametz on Pesach, on Shabbos, excuse me, that would not violate the Shabbos. And the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir insists that Mevaren is hakol milifnei Shabbos. He doesn't have the option of bir chametz on Shabbos itself, presumably because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds ein bir chametz ela sreifa. And Rashi, Dibra Maskel Mevarim, Bein Chulin, Bein Truma, the Tanakama here, Rabbi Meir, doesn't distinguish between Truma and Chulin. We might, instead of burning Truma on Erev Shabbos, we might want to delay the destruction of Truma, because Ibud Truma is a violation of an Iser of Mishmeres Trumosai. And Rashi says, Toch Kedei Achilosu L'Shabbos. Aval Masha Osid, Kol Masha Osid Levar Yevar. Meaning, he'll save over that which he needs for Suda Shabbos, but on Erev Shabbos, he should destroy the rest, the balance of his chametz, that which he doesn't need on Shabbos. Now, the Baal Amor, Rabbeinu Mizrachi Alevi, has a argument against Rashi. He claims that according to Rabbi Meir, you should not leave over any chametz for Shabbos. Even if he's going to want to eat it for Shabbos, he should destroy his chametz totally on Erev Shabbos, because we're afraid that if we allow him to leave over chametz for Shabbos, then he might come to omit the bir chametz, and if he doesn't destroy the chametz, he will violate an Iser of Baal Yerov Ha'imotzi. Now, what is the Baal Amor going to say, according to Rabbi Meir, as far as Suda Shabbos is concerned? And apparently, he's going to have to be eating matzah for Suda Shabbos, because he's destroyed all his chametz on Erev Shabbos, according to the Baal Amor. Rashi allows him to leave over chametz for his Suda Shabbos. Baal Amor is not going to take any chances with that. Now, the problem with having a suda of matzah on Shabbos, in the case where Shabbos is Erev Pesach, is that the Yerushalmi says we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So on the one hand, you have a mitzvah of suda Shabbos. On the other hand, you have an Iser of Achilas matzah on Erev Pesach. And the Yerushalmi goes very far. It says that kol ochel matzah erev Pesach hareze kebol arusos beis chamav. So what do? You're really in a predicament here. And it could be that the iser of achilas matzah on erev Pesach only is chal after chatzos. And then we get into the whole issue of three seudos before chatzos. Can he fit in all three of his seudos Shabbos before chatzos? But at least he can get in two seudos before chatzos. He's going to be koveh seuda twice on Shabbos on matzah. He has no option, according to the Baal Amor, within the framework of Rabbi Meir, to establish a seuda on chametz, because he's got to get rid of all his chametz on Erev Shabbos. Chachamim omrim bizmano. Chachamim say, presumably because they accept the shita of hashpasasu b'chol dover, that you could destroy your chametz on Shabbos itself, which is Erev Pesach. And that's the time that the Torah allotted for the destruction of chametz. Ach b'yom rishon means on Erev Pesach, the 14th Erev Pesach. That's where we destroy our chametz. Of course, you can't burn your chametz. That's not an option. It's Shabbos. But what you will do is, you'll find a way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Biur without violating the Shabbos. Now, according to the Baal Amor, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim can be reduced to the identical machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim that we had at the beginning of our perek, namely, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Biur Chametz? Rabbi Meir reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Biur Chametz Ella Sreifa, there's no option of being Mekayim the mitzvah of Biur Chametz on Shabbos, on Erev Pesach in this case, because Sreifa is one of the Av Malachas. But the mitzvah of Biur Chametz, although it becomes obligatory on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Pesach, meaning on Shabbos, nevertheless, you can do the Maisa Sreifa and the Maisa Mitzvah on Erev Shabbos, which is the 13th of Nisan, and the Kiyuma Mitzvah will be delayed until the 14th of Nisan. Chachamim, on the other hand, in our Mishnah, reflect the Shita of the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, Mefar Vizore LaRuach, or Matiliyah. And therefore, there's no need to be Mevar the Chametz before Pesach, before Shabbos. You can be Mevar on Shabbos in any of those methods other than Sreifa. Now, there's a long discussion here, maybe we'll get a chance to investigate it, about the possibility of there being an Issa Derabbanan of destroying Chametz on Shabbos. Meaning, on a Doraisa level, there's no violation. But Midrabbanan, it might be Asur, because of Muktzah or something along the lines of Muktzah where we destroy Chametz on Shabbos. Now, even if you assume that there is some sort of an Issur Derabbanan to destroy Chametz, Shalal Yedei Sreifa, on Shabbos, Derabbanan were matir it for the sake of the mitzvah of Biur Chametz. And that's going to be the Shita of the Chachamim. You'll destroy your Chametz in any method other than Sreifa on Shabbos, fulfill the mitzvah of Biur Chametz, and that's going to override the Issur Derabbanan, we'll call it Muktzah for now. Now, one of the Rishonim, and that's Rabbeinu Yonasan Miluniel, who's quoted in the Nemuke Yosef, which I used to have, I call it before the flood, anyway. The Nemuke Yosef says the following. Chachamim are worried about Baltashchis. We're going to see a similar concept in Rabbi Gamliel in just a minute, in Rabbi Lozber Tzadok, about Truma, that we want to postpone the destruction of Truma until the very last moment. Here also, with regard to Chametz, even though it's Chulin, but nevertheless we're worried about the Iser Baltashchis. So that to destroy the Chametz on Erev Shabbos, which is the 13th of Nisan, when there's a possibility that you can eat that Chametz on the 14th of Nisan, which is Shabbos, is a violation of Baltashchis. And therefore, even though he can get away with a minimum, let's say according to Rashi, Shita, Rabbi Meir, he saves only two sudos, mazon shtei sudos. The Baal Mor says that according to Rabbi Meir, he destroys all his chametz, leaving only matzah for Shabbos. The Chachamim are of the opinion that, you know what, we're going to be more liberal than that. We're going to allow you to leave for Shabbos even more than mazon shtei sudos. You've got plenty of chametz in the house. You know, you've got a freezer full of loaves of challahs that you never ate and you probably never will eat. But save them until Shabbos. And maybe yizdamnu lo orchim. Maybe guests will show up and they'll come and eat up his chametz. And that will obviate the need to destroy the chametz. Rabbi Meir says, you know what? I don't believe that orchim are going to show up. I don't want to let you leave your chametz until Shabbos. I'm worried about the possibility that you won't destroy your chametz on Shabbos. And therefore, any chametz that you have that you don't absolutely need for Mazon Shtei Sudos on Shabbos, can destroy it on Erev Shabbos. Again, according to Rashi's understanding of the Chacham. So just to summarize, we have the Baal Amor's understanding of this Machlok Shri Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yonasan Miluniel, quoted by the Nebuki Yosef, his understanding. According to Valamar, they're arguing in the ancient machlokes about whether you could be Makayim the mitzvah of Bir Chametz in Kol Dovar, Ashbasas v'Kol Dovar, or do you need Sreifa Dafka? According to the Rimi Luniel, the machlokes revolves around Baltashkes. And Rabbi Meir sees the Baltashkes argument on one hand, but he's afraid of leaving Chametz over to to Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. On the other hand, he's afraid that there'll be Chametz around, whereas the Chachamim are not afraid of that. They push their weight in favor of avoiding Baal Tashlis. I have got an enormous volume of Chametz to get rid of. Archim will show up. Now we get to Rabbi Lazar Reb Tzadik. He says, let's distinguish between Truma, where the Torah commands us Mishmeres Trumosai, there's a mitzvah Achilas Truma, and we're not allowed to destroy Truma. And you know what? The problem with Truma is that although on the one hand we have a strong halachic motivation to postpone the destruction of Truma, but there's also the opposite svara, that dafkan Erev Shabbos we should be destroying the Truma. And why is that? Because Truma, as you know, is only mutal kohen. And if you're a Zar, and you have a supply of Chametz Shel Truma, what are you going to do with it? Shabbos comes around, and you've postponed your Bir Chametz until Shabbos, which is the Zman for Bir Chametz, the normal Zman. It's the 14th of Nisan, and you've applied the psak of the Chachama Rabbi Meir. But now you've got Chametz that's Truma. Go run around and find a Kohen? You know, be lucky if you have a Kohen. But the truth is that every Tom, Dick, and Harry is looking for those Kohenim to come and eat up the Truma. And there's vast volumes of Truma in the market. Says Rabbi Lazar Reb Tzadik, I'm not going to be too excited about applying the principle of the Chachamim. Let's take, for example, the Rimi Luniel. Well, Archim are going to come. Who are your Archim? Only if they're Kohanim are you going to be able to feed them this Chametz. So you're holding on to Chametz. Now, he says, Truma milifnei Shabbos v'chulin bizmano. I'm not afraid that I'll have leftover chulin. I'll have plenty of people to eat up the Chametz of chulin, which is mutter for both Zorim and for Kohanim. And if he has leftover, he'll destroy it in the way that the Chacham allow you to destroy Zorim afar l'ruach, or maybe he'll get lucky and Orchim will show up. But in the case of Truma, I'm not going to anticipate the Orchim that they're going to be Kohanim. The Kohanim are in big demand on Erev Pesach. Give them all the Truma's Chametz that you have. So therefore, avoid this situation. And what are you going to do? You're going to destroy the Chametz Shel Truma on Erev Shabbos. Now this touches upon a machlokas that we discussed at great length. Is there a violation of Bal Yerah by Matzeh in the case of Truma? Truma belongs to the Kohanim. It doesn't belong to you. You're now going to destroy the Truma that belongs to Kohanim because it's Chametz in order to avoid what? Bal Yerah by Matzeh. Rabbi Yeshua says there's no Bal Yerah by Matzeh. Remember the case of the Esau, which Rabbi Yeshua said in the Mishnah, let it rise. I couldn't care less. You'll destroy the Truma that's Tmeya after Yontif. And there's no violation of Bal Yerah by Matzah. But here we're assuming, like the Chachamim, that there would be a problem of Bal Yerah by Matzah, there's a Chovas Biur, and therefore we have to worry about the fact that he'll have too much Truma, that's Chametz, left over on Shabbos if he doesn't destroy it on Erev Shabbos, and he won't find a Kohen to eat it. Now, this Gemara is a very short piece of Gemara. The Gemara just simply quotes a Braisa, which more or less reiterates what we saw in the Mishnah about Rabbi Lazar Reb Tzadik, but tells the story about his father. Pam Achas, Shavas Abba B'Yavne. He tells the story about his father, Rabbi Tzadok, who spent Shabbos in Yavne. V'chal Arba Solios B'Shabbos. And on that particular year, Pesach was on Motzi Shabbos, and Shabbos was Erev Pesach. Boaz Zunin, a fellow by the name of Zunin, he came around, and he was the Memuna Shel Rabbi Gamliel. So he was the Shamash of Rabbi Gamliel. V. Omar, and he notified my father, Rabbi Tzadok, that he gia es levaris hachomitz. V'alachti achar abba ubiarti es hachomitz. So we see clearly that the halach is not in favor of Rabbi Meir, because they were notifying everybody that now is the time for bir chametz. Let's say it's the 11th, you know, it's 11 o'clock, it's the 6th hour or the 5th hour. And they destroyed the chametz on Shabbos in whatever method they used to destroy the chametz. So we don't have to get rid of the chametz on Erev Shabbos. Now here, we have a question again of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says the following. In this brisa, Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik is trying to prove from this story that we have to, that we don't have to destroy the chametz on Erev Pesach. He says, "Hare gamle Rabbi Meir shesovah shemavarmes hakol fei Shabbos yesh gam bir chametz v'Shabbos chametz shishtar mimenu sheniach l'Shabbos." Is it really true that it's totally superfluous to have the, you know, the zunin go around and bang on doors and tell everybody, "Hey, it's time to be mavar chametz"? Even Rabbi Meir would agree that that's so, because at least according to Rashi's interpretation of Rabbi Meir, which the Baal HaMor is now going to reject, there's chametz that's left over on Shabbos. And that's called mazon shtei sudos. If he has surplus chametz that he didn't finish and he didn't eat them up on Shabbos, then he's going to have to destroy it on Shabbos. Now, if you go with Rashi Shita, that Rabbi Meir holds in our Mishnah, Ein bir chametz el sreif, and therefore bir chametz on Shabbos is not an option because there's no sreif on Shabbos, then how could it be that Zunin is running around notifying people he gia shas habir? What do you mean he gia shas habir? Ein bir chametz el sreif, and there's no sreif on Shabbos. So Rashi l'shitaso is fine. But the Baal HaMor is more impressed and more in line with assuming that even Rabbi Meir would agree that there are other ways of destroying your chametz. Now, the Baal HaMor points out that even if I assume that Rabbi Meir maintains like Rabbi Yehuda, that ein bir chametz el sreifa, but what happens if you have chametz and it's Shabbos, you can't destroy it? You do have an option of getting rid of it that would not be a kiyum mitzvah of tashbisu, but it would avoid the violation of the lavam v'alyurah v'yimotzeh. So it could very well be, says the Baal HaMor, that Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik has no proof against Rabbi Meir from the story of his father of Tzadik, because the reason why they notified everyone to get rid of the chametz is because they might have had surplus chametz above and beyond the shtei sudos, and even Rabbi Meir would agree you got to get rid of that chametz. But the Baal HaMor comes to another conclusion. And he wants to prove from this brisa and the proof that Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik deduces from his father in that story, that according to Rabbi Meir, there is no chametz on Shabbos. There's no chametz to be gotten rid of. Rabbi Meir is not going to take the chance of allowing you to preserve set aside two sudos of chametz for Shabbos. Too tricky. Rabbi Meir wants you to get rid of all your chametz on Erev Shabbos, on the 13th of Nisan. Hence, Rabbi Tzadok, quoting this minhag of, Zunin, that they notified people on behalf of Rabbi Gamliel that it's now time to get rid of the chametz on Shabbos. It must be that they accepted the halacha against Rabbi Meir. There is chametz to be destroyed on Shabbos. And let's call it hashpesasu b'chol dova. So that's the Baal HaMor's understanding, that from the fact that Rabbi Tzadok brought this, or Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok brought this raya from his father, we see clearly that according to Rabbi Meir, you have to destroy all your chametz on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, and not leave over any chametz. But Rashi might be holding, in defense of Rashi, that even though Rabbi Meir allows you to leave over chametz on Shabbos, the proof that is adduced here by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok from this Maisa is that from the fact that the Mamuna of Rabbi Gamliel said, Higia eis levayer es hachametz. And he understood that the language of Higia ha'eis levayer es hachametz means the Iker mitzvah bir chametz. Not some sort of a leftover in case you preserved and designated two sudos of chametz and now you have extra chametz. No, no, no. This was a standardized, formalized proclamation on Shabbos that Igia Eis Levayer Es HaChametz. Levayer Es HaChametz means Ikar Bir Chametz, which according to Rabbi Meir was on Erev Shabbos. Now the Mishnah wants to know about various scenarios in which you find yourself on the way and it's very difficult for you to get back to destroy your chametz. How far do you have to go? Let's say, you know, we once had a discussion, if you remember, about Netilas Yadayim. You know, how far do I have to go back and retrace my steps in order to wash my hands, in order to daven? Do you remember that? I'm just giving you as an example. Haholech lishchon es pischo. Right, so we're dating ourselves back to the Bizman Shabbos Beis Hamikdash HaYikayim. So he's on his way to shecht a carbon Pesach. And it's Erev Pesach. Or Lomol Es Bino, a second option in which, again, he's on the way to do a great mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of Mila. Or Lechol Seudas Erisin Bebeis Chamav. All right, this is a little bit anticlimactic, but we'll get back to that in just a minute. V'nizkar Sheyeshlo Chametz Besof Beiso. Now, he's got two possibilities. Well, we could call it three possibilities, maybe. One possibility is that he's got to retrace his steps, which, as we'll soon see, means that he's going to have to forfeit a great mitzvah for the sake of destroying his chametz. The other option is to say, no, 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 no. The great mitzvahs here, at least in the cases of Pesach and Mila, will trump the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. And if it's an either-or situation, you allow him to continue on his way to the mitzvah and leave out Bir Chametz. Now we have a third option, and that is Bittul Chametz. The Gemara says at the beginning of the first perek, that midoraisa bebittul v'al masagi, and the Torah considers bittul chametz to be a kiyum of tashbisu. Although the chachamim in the first Mishnah Pesachim are not happy with that, as the Ran explains, ein machshavoseim shel b'dayon shavos, we don't rely on your bittul, maybe he won't make such a sincere bittul, maybe he owns some very valuable chametz, he's got some whiskey, and he doesn't really mean it with a full heart, etc., etc. Or, the way Tosus understands the Mishnah, maybe he'll come to eat the chametz if you don't destroy it, although you did bittul, but that's not going to save you from achilas chametz. And therefore, the Rabbanon required bir chametz. Physical bir chametz, not bittul chametz. They're not going to rely on bittul, which the Torah says is fine. Now, it could be that in a precious situation where he's got the mitzvah of Pesach or the mitzvah of Mila on one side and the mitzvah of Bir on the other side, here we can go back to the Doraisa, let him fulfill the mitzvah of Bir through Bittul, which Midoraisa b'Bittul v'al Masagi, and as far as the Drabbanan are concerned, we're going to forfeit that mitzvah derabbanon of birur chametz, of physical destruction, for the sake of Pesach or Mila. So these are some of the options, and we'll see the ruling of the Mishnah in just one moment. But first, let's go back to the third scenario, and that is a sudas erisith. Now, if you read this Mishnah literally, it makes no sense whatsoever. There's no such thing as a sudas erisin. I mean, you know, you could have a sudas erisin, but don't call it a sudas erisin. I mean, the Mishnah is clearly looking for a mitzvah. What kind of mitzvah are we dealing with over here? A mitzvah sudas erisin? What we know, and what we're used to, is a concept called a sudas nisuin. After the chuppah, at the end of the 12-month period, they finish with erisin, they're now entering into the nisuin, and then there's a mitzvah of simcha, a mitzvah of su'uda, and a sudas nisuin is a classic case of a sudas mitzvah. So what exactly is this all about? Now, to make life a little more challenging for us, it says, bebeis chama, in his father-in-law's house. Now, I understand that during erisin, she's living in her father's house. But why the emphasis on Beis Chamav? And it seems that the Mishnah is addressing the Chassan himself. The Chassan is on his way to his Shver's house for a Sudas erisin. So the Magen Avraham in Siman Tuf Mem Dalet makes a gigantic deal out of this. He says, "Miloshan Mishnah v'beis chamav, in his father-in-law's house," quote unquote, "mashma shemedubar al achosan atzmo shehu holech l'sudas erisin." Okay, big deal, I would say, right? It is a big deal. It's a very big deal. The Magen Avraham wants to derive a conclusion here from the fact that the Mishnah is addressing the Chassan who's on his way to the Beis Erisin, Sudas Erisin. Nirimizeh, that the din here that we're going to allow him, again, we'll see the conditions, to forego the mitzvah biur, says the Magen Avraham, that applies to those mitzvos that fit the category, the description called Efshar Lasosam Al Yedei Acherim. He says that there's no Sudas Erisin without the Chassan. The Chassan cannot send a proxy, an agent that will represent him at the Sudas Erisin. There's no such thing as a Sudas Erisin without the Chassan. The Mishnah went out of its way to add lebeis chasanov, in order to emphasize that the only reason, lebeis chamov, I should say, the only reason why we're going to be flexible and perhaps alleviate him of the mitzvah bir chametz is because the entire suda depends upon whether he shows up. In his absence, there's no such thing as a suda. So if he goes back home to do Bir Chametz, he better get back on time for the Sudas Erisin. So let's say it's Erev Pesach and it's 10 a.m. You know, how long will it take him to go to the Beis Erisin and get back on time to burn his Chametz before 11 o'clock? He's got an hour. He's got to go back and destroy his Chametz and then show up for the Sudas Erisin. Now, why the Sudas Erisin is on Erev Pesach, Vesachnish, I don't know, I could have thought of a better date for Sudas Erisin. I don't even know what they're serving at this Sudas Erisin. They can't serve matzah because Kibbol Arusasav Beis Chamav, literally Beis Chamav, and they can't serve Chametz because it's after Shasi Suro. Okay, they'll serve what Tosus usually calls Mini de Targamina. There'll be certain dips. Again, not Kuta Chabavli because that's Tarovas Chametz. So the Magen Avraham says, Nirimizeh, L'dinah mishnah emrakach alachosan atzmo mishum shebiladav lo yuchlu lasos es sudas ha'erisin. V'imkein havi mitzvah shi efshal la'asos al yidei acherim. V'lachein hu doches bir chavetz. It fascinates me that these are classical terms that are used in a totally different context when we talk about osik b'mitzvah, potim b'mitzvah. So I picked up mitzvah A, now I have mitzvah B, and the law is that if I can find someone else to do mitzvah A, then I can pick up mitzvah B. But if it's the efshar, then I'm osik mitzvah, potim b'mitzvah. Here too. Will the Sudas Erisin go on? Will the party go on without the chassan if he goes back to Bir Chametz? The answer is no. There won't be a mitzvah of Sudas Erisin. Again, Rabosa, I don't know what the mitzvah is, but we have to grant that there is such a mitzvah called mitzvah Sudas Erisin. Stam Adam HaHolech LeSudas Mitzvah. Listen to the Magen Avraham, how far he takes this diuk. I'm on my way to a Sudas Mitzvah. I'm not the Avia Ben who's obligated in the meal. I'm just showing up in order to participate in the Sudas Mitzvah. Nizkar sheyesh lo chametz bebeso chayav lachzor ulavaro. No ifs, ands, or buts. No conditions here. Forget it. You have to forfeit your participation in the Sudas Mitzvah in favor of Bir Chametz. Why? Because the party goes on even without you. Excuse me for just 1 minute. Now, the Rambam in Perek Gimel Michametz Umatzah, when he codifies our Mishnah, he writes, Kol Adam HaHolech L'Sudas Erisin. Kol Adam. The Rambam holds that if you're on your way to participate in the Sudas Erisin, you're not the Chasan. The party will go on in your absence, but nevertheless you enhance the Sudas Erisin, then you're obligated to continue to the Sudas Erisin. And the Pri Chadash claims that the Mishnah is referring to Kol Adam, according to the Rambam. You know, it's interesting because the Magen Avraham built a case on his diuk of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Beis Chamav. Obviously, the Mishnah is talking to the Chassan himself, without whom there is no party. But nevertheless, the Rambam understood that Lav Dafka, the Mishnah is not addressing the Chassan. And who knows, maybe the Rambam didn't even have the words Beis Chamav in his text of the Mishnah. I don't know. And therefore the Pri Chadash says the following, that the Rambam might say the following. The reason why the Mishnah mentions the Chassan, if the Rambam has that Girsa, he's assuming the Rambam has the same Girsa as us, is Mishum Shebishvilo Sudas Erisim B'chol Matzavi Sudas Mitzvah V'l'shar B'nei Odom Lo Tamid Ze Sudas Mitzvah. He says the following. The Rambam would explain the Mishnah as addressing the Chassan in order to clarify a very important point. And that is that for the Chassan, by definition, Sudas Erisin is a Sudas Mitzvah. For other people, it may or may not be a Sudas Mitzvah. How so? Kigon, Bas Kohen Li Yisrael, O Bas Kohen Lama Oretz, Eina Sudas Mitzvah. Again, we're not up to the sugi yet, but just we're getting a preview of what's coming around. The Gemara is going to try to understand and explain how Sudas Erisin is a Sudas Mitzvah. And the Gemara is going to say, well, it depends. It's not always a Sudas Mitzvah. So to participate in a Sudas Erisin in which a Bas Kohen marries an Amoretz, or the case of a Bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael, that's not a great bombastic Sudas Mitzvah. For the Chassan, it's a Sudas Mitzvah. You know, Baruch Hashem, he was zoche to marry a Bas Kohen or a Bas Talmud Chacham. He himself is an Amoritz, he's Israel, or an Amoritz. But nevertheless, for him, it's a Sudas Mitzvah. So again, Mimirs Hashem, we'll try to come back to this insight here in the Pre-Chadosh when we get to the Sugya of Sudas Erisin and why and when it is a Sudas Mitzvah. But just keep in mind that we have Machlokes as to how to interpret this Mishnah. Is the Mishnah honed in on the chasan exclusively for other people? The party will go on without them, and therefore they have to give primary precedence, priority, I would say, to bir chametz under all circumstances, even if they forfeit their participation in the Sudas Mitzvah. And the other pshat is the Rambam, who says that anyone, again, assuming it's a Sudas Mitzvah, anyone who's on the way to participate in this Suda, he is involved in the Sudas Mitzvah. But again, we have to always remind ourselves that we're not sure why Sudas Erisin is a Sudas Mitzvah. I understand in the Sudas Nisuin is a mitzvah of Sameach Chasu V'Kala. I want to fulfill that mitzvah by showing up and participating in the Suda. I'm not sure why in the case of Sudas Erisin that should be a problem. Now for this we'd probably also have to learn a Sugya in Yevamos with regard to Avelus. And there the Gemara goes into detail about the mitzvah of Erisin that you can fulfill even during Avelus. Not Nisuin, but Erisin, because Erisin is not Simcha, but Nisuin is Simcha. And the Gemara says that if it's a Sudas Erisin, that would be prohibited during Avelus, even though it's only Erisin. So you see that even Erisin lends itself to Simcha in some sense, and that Simcha expresses itself in a Suda. But again, as I said before, we'll get into that a little bit later on. So now what happens? Here's the scenario. I'm on my way to Karban Pesach, to Bris Milah, to a Sudas Erisin. And now I remember, oh no, I have Chametz back in my house. So what are the laws? So Mishnah says the following. Im yachal lachzor levayr v'lachzor l'mitzvoso. If he can be mekayim shneim. He has time enough to go back home and destroy his chametz and then get back in time for Shlitas HaPesach or Milas Benos or participation in the Sudas Erisin Yachzor. Let him go back home via Vayar and he should destroy his chametz and then go back to his mitzvah. And this seems intuitively obvious. I mean, if it's Efshel Kaim Shneim, you're not really positing here a tug of war. You could do both. So go back and destroy your chametz. Now, it could be that the Mishnah wants to be mechadesh that bir chametz takes precedence. It's a time-urgent mitzvah because you still have enough time to come back and shech the Korban Pesach or implement the bris milah. Another possibility is that maybe the Mishnah is coming to be mechadesh. He says here in the name of Ram Chalva that lo rak kishiyodea bevadesh yesh lo chametz afilu im hu mesupak im yesh lo chametz sarch lachzor ulevayer. So Ram Chalva sees in this Mishnah a great chiddush. Every time that you drop out of the derech, you know, you're on the road and you're about to be Mekayim, the great mitzvah of Korban Pesach, or Milah, and you're going to drop out, go home in order to destroy your chametz, there's always a risk factor that maybe you won't fit it all in. You'll get sidetracked, there'll be weather conditions, there's too much traffic, I don't know, whatever might happen. And guess what? I don't know if it ever happened to you, but it happened to me a million and one times. I never got back on time. So to take that risk, you would think he's got to know for sure that he has chametz. And one could essentially argue that that's what the Mishnah means when it says that nizkar sheyesh lo chametz v'toch beiso. He definitely has chametz in his house. Comes along Ram Chalva and he says, no, The Chiddush of the Mishnah, again, you have to be a little bit more liberal in terms of the language of the Mishnah, is Nizka Shalo Bir Shalo Kiyem Chovas Bir. And the Rabbanan require you to do Bir Chometz under all circumstances, whether you remember that you have Chometz or you didn't have Chometz, but it's a Makom Shabbat Nisan Bel Chometz. And until you do the Bir, it has a Chazakah that there's Chometz there. And therefore, even though you don't know whether you have Chometz, you have to go back and take this break, even if it means risking that you won't get back on time for your great mitzvah. That is the Ramchal. However, the Meiri says that it says Nizkar sheyesh lo chametz betoch beso. The Meiri says if the Ramchalava was right, the Mishnah should have said Nizkar shelo badak es beso. He should have the Mishnah said he remembered that he did not fulfill the mitzvah b'dikas chametz. Why does it say Nizkar sheyesh lo chametz bebeso? Mashva sheyodea bevadei sheyesh lo chametz v'lachein chozel levar avol besafek, if he's not sure whether he has chametz in his house, lo hitrichu lachzor. But I don't know. Is the Meiri? One second. Did he? Trying to figure out if he did bedika or not. Just give me a minute here. So again, the Meiri is saying that in his car, she yesh lo chametz, mashma she yodeh bevadeh she yesh lo chametz, is therefore chozer levayer, avol besafek lo trichu lachzor. Marvel here that I had here in my study, I knew where the Meiri was, but. In any event, I'll check the Meiri, but I suspect that the Meiri is talking about a case where he did implement his Chovas Bedika, and if he thinks maybe he has Chometz that he left out of the Bedika or something, he doesn't have to go back. Now, the Mishnah continues. V'im Lav. Oh, finally we get to the punchline, the exciting scenario, where it's an either-or situation. He doesn't have enough time to go back home and destroy his chametz and get back on time to be mekayim his mitzvah. What should he do? And the impression you get is that if there was no option of avoiding the essay, violating the essay of Teshbisu, and violating the Los Esser by Rabbi Matzi, he would definitely have to go back and destroy his chametz. But, says the Mishnah, he has another option on a Doraisa level, and that is Mevat Lo Belibo. Because Midoraisa, you don't have to destroy your chametz, it's enough that you Mevat Lo Chametz. The Rabbanan require that you destroy your chametz. Therefore, if he's on his way to be Mekayim a great mitzvah, and those mitzvahs are Doraisa, again, I don't know about Sudas Nesuin, Sudas Erisin, but certainly Milhem Pesach are mitzvahs Doraisa, then if he's going to go back to destroy his chametz, we're talking about a case of imlav. Imlav means he won't be able to be mekayim his mitzvah of bir chametz and get back on time for the Korban Pesach. So what do you do in such a case? The answer is that since the Torah recognizes bittul as an option, he will cover his bases on a deraisa level, and he can go ahead and continue on his pathway to Mila and to Pesach without having to forfeit the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. Ay, Midrabanan, we require Bir Chametz. So the answer is, apparently, that a mitzvah Doraisa trumps a mitzvah of Bir Chametz Midrabanan, because Midraisa, he fulfilled his mitzvah Bir by through bit. Comes along the Magen Avraham, and he says that all this makes sense If it's Kodem Shas Isuro, let's call it 10 o'clock in the morning on Erev Pesach. So he has the option of Bittul. But, says the Magen Avraham, if it's after Shas Isuro, and Bittul is not an option, because the Gemara establishes in the first parak that there's no Bittul. After Shas Isuro, it's Yotzer Meshuso, etc. So now, he's really faced with a no-win situation. Well, it's a one-win situation, but not a two-win situation. There's no win-win. He's got to really make a choice. Either he continues to Korban Pesach, and he forfeits the mitzvah Bir Chametz, and now we're talking on a Daraisa level because it's after Shas Isuro and there's no option of Bittul. Or should we say no? Leave out the great mitzvahs of Pesach and Milah for the sake of the mitzvah Bir Chametz, which is a Daraisa. Says the Magen Avraham, it's clear that he has to go back to be Mevaris Chametz. Even though Afal Pi Shelo Yuchal Lachzor L'Kaimis HaMitzvah Sholech LaSosa SheMitzvahs Bir Doche Es Mitzvahs Korban Pesach. Why is that so? The Afal Pi SheShteyan Mitzvahs HaSei, and I would have said that certainly Pesach is on a greater level than Bir Chametz. Pesach is a Kares. Mishum SheHaEsei Shel Tashbisu Chomer Yoser Shekein over Ola b'chol rega v'rega. Says the Magen Avraham, every minute that passes by, he incurs another violation of bir chametz, meaning non-bir chametz. Ad kan Magen Avraham. Now he says that the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, Evan Ozer, our Mishnah that says that if he cannot do both, he continues to the Korban Pesach, he doesn't go back for beer. Nemar af kishe eino yochel levatel, even if he cannot implement bittul, velo yachzer levaris hachometz. And why is that? Because he says that he's potter from the essay, and eino over al bal yirah by yimotze. Okay, are you holding on to your chairs here? Because how could it be that he's not in the parsha of Bittul? That's not an option, and he's not going to destroy his chametz. And he doesn't violate Bayiro Bayimotze. How could that be? He says, Kosva Tosus Liel, Choftesa with Beis, Shechomet Shedaito Levaro Sacharkach, Eino Over Beshehi Al Bayiro Bayimotze. This is called Mashechomto Al Manas Levaro. He's delaying the beer, but he intends, full intention to destroy the Chomets. Mikayman shebal yiroa hu lav hanitek liyesei, shenitek liyesei shel tashbisu. Meaning, whenever he'll get around to it, he'll destroy the chametz, and the lav becomes a lav hanitek liyesei. The bal yiroa is nitak liyesei, which means is a tikkun of the lav through tashbisu, and he'll do the tashbisu later on. So, I don't know, the Mishnah says, mevatlo belibo. The way that the Mefarshei HaShulchan Aruch, the Evan HaOzer, are interpreting the Mishnah is the Mishnah is giving us the guidance, you know, the Eitz Tova, what he should do if he has the possibility before Shas Isuro of implementing of reciting Bittul Chametz. But the Mishnah is not addressing the issue of a case where it's impossible for him to implement Bittul. And the halacha in that case is he should go on and on towards the Korban Pesach. There's no bittul, there's no biur, but it's Masha Chometz Al Menas Levaro. And that's the way we understand Bayiro Bayimotzi. Bayiro Bayimotzi is the flip side of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. It's a lav anitakli essay. And if he apparently, what I mean to say, you know, from the perspective of the spectator, he's violating Ba'yur Abay Motzi. He can fix up the Ba'yur Abay Motzi later when he destroys his chametz. It's a bit of a stretch here to say that when the Mishnah says Mevatlo Belibo, it's just giving us an Eitzah Tova. Comes along the Node of Yudin Slach, and he asks the following question. The Gemara says on Daf Hey that if you shecht the Pesach and you own chametz in your possession, you violate a lav d'oraisa lo sishchad es hachametz al dam zivchi lo sishchad al chametz v'adayin chametz kaya es ha-pesach v'adayin chametz. How could we allow him to continue on his way to Shechitas HaPesach without destroying his chametz? And I think the answer to the tzlach would be that it's not the physical ownership, the mitzius of his possession over chametz that generates the lav, but rather it's the isur shehiyas chametz, the violation of Ba'yur Abay Motzeh. Whenever there's Ba'yur Abay Motzeh, there's an isur lav to shech the Korban Pesach. But here we're holding that Masha Chametz al Menas Levaro does not violate Ba'yur Abay Motzeh, is Mimela, there's no lo sishcha. So he quotes the Gemara Daf Hey, also Lishcha is a Pesach called Svacha Chometz Adayim Kayom. And that's what he has. Okay. Now, until now, the Mishnah is addressing a conflict between a Chovas Gavra, a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, we gave a few examples in the Mishnah, and Bir Chometz. But what happens if there's another element in the equation, and that's Hatzolas Chayoda, meaning Hatzolah Mipikuach Nefesh. So the Hatzil Min HaNochrim, if he's on his way to protect a Jew from the Goyim, Umin HaNohar, or Chas Shalom, a Jew is about to drown in a river. Umin HaListim, or the robbers are pouncing on this Jew, and now you're on the way to try to save the Jew. Umin HaDleiko, from a fireman on a poles, from an avalanche, is then under all conditions Yevatel Belibo. Even if you might argue that he can go back to his house, destroy his chametz, and get back to the river and jump in and save this person, we're not going to take any chances whatsoever with Chaya Adam. And therefore, we're going to rely on the Din D'oraisa and Bittul is sufficient. And he writes here, in the name of the Me'iri, Hatam u'mishum shebemokom she'esh sakona osu lishtaos milahatzil, you should not be distracted and delay the Hatzolah. El tzrichim laleches miyad lahatzil shema achkach lo yuchlu kvar lahatzil. We don't enter into scientific evaluations. How long is he going to survive? You know, he's drowning in the river. Oh, he won't die for the next 10 minutes. So give him 10 minutes, go destroy your chametz, come back. We don't make those calculations. Pikuach nefesh means immediately, with urgency, do what you have to do to save the life of this victim. You know, it's very interesting that these laws of Hatzolah seem to put Hatzolah into a whole nother category. I mean, before we talk about a man who's on his way to Shech the Korban Pesach, I mean, that's a Chiv Karetz, or Milas Bino. I don't have to tell you how important those mitzvahs are. Those are the only two essays that generate Karetz. And yet, we're going to forego those mitzvahs because he calculates that, you know what, he can go back, destroy his chametz, and make it back on time for Mila or for the Korban Pesach. But when it comes to Mikuach Nefesh, those calculations don't hold water. And again, like we said here, the name of the Miri, because, all right, you know what, something might terrible happen, and he, you know, he thought the victim would live, would last, and he, you know, he can't take any chances, says the Miri. Shema Yisakev Hadavar and Lo Yachzar V'yatzel. He may get held up. Don't leave from this spot. But I would say, again, if not for the Meiri, that there's something much more fundamental here in this Mishnah. It's not just a question of maybe he'll get this, he'll get held up, and he, you know. Again, you could understand it in that way, from the perspective of Pikuach Nefesh and statistics and so forth and so on. But I would say something different. I would say that the Mitzvah Hatzolah takes on new dimensions that would not apply to other mitzvahs. Just to give you an example, you know, I give these classes on what they call Piskei Korona. And the issue is about the Hatzolah people, whether or not they are allowed, obligated, not allowed to go in and administer, you know, therapeutic help for a Corona patient, medical staff, and so on, from a Jewish perspective. Are they putting their life into danger to save someone else's life? And are you obligated to do so? And it's fascinating that the poskim seem to assume that once you become obligated in the midst of Hatzolah, and the Tzitz Eliezer, if you heard of him, has a concept called Mimuna al Hatzolah. The community has put its faith in you as a Hatzolah person. You take on the mitzvah of Hatzolah. It's upstanding. I mean, every moment of your life, 24-7, you are chayav in the mitzvah of Hatzolah. With a special chiyuv, because you are designated as such. And now, all of a sudden, the halacha says that you have to put your life into danger. And the Radbaz has a famous tshuva that even though it's a 50% chance that you'll perish, but for him, the victim, his life is in danger, 100% he's going to perish. Ein safik motzi b'devada, you have to go in there and put your life into danger. And although the poskim are very hesitant to accept that radical position of the Radbaz, they do quote the case of David HaMelech, who sent out his soldiers for what's called the Melchemes Rishus. And every Melchama involves putting the soldiers' lives in danger. And yet, for the sake of a mitzvah of, you know, complying with David HaMelech's wishes, we will put our lives into danger. And they want to make an equation between that and Hatzolah. Okay, next. We don't have too much time, but we'll see if we can move on here in the Mishnah. V'im lishbos shvisas harashus. We know that there's halacha of being konish shvisa, because the Tchum Shabbos allows you to go only 2,000 amah outside, beyond the boundaries of the city. And now, he wants to visit his good buddy on Shabbos, and his buddy is more than 2,000 amos away from the outside boundaries of the city. That's called a tzarek rishus. So he wants to go out there to be kone shvisa, and then all of a sudden, as he's on his way to go out there beyond the city bounds in order to be kone shvisa, boom, it occurs to him that he didn't destroy his chametz. Is yachso miyat. That's already Rishus. We're not going to allow you to delay Bir Chametz for the sake of Rishus and go back and be Mevar the Chametz. Now, the next part of the Mishnah deals with Basar Kodesh. If you have Kodshim Shenifsalu, then they need Sreifa. And the halacha of Sreifa requires that they be burnt in the place where they left their bounds, meaning within the bounds. So, for example, in the case of Kochim Kalim, Nechlim Lezichre Kuna B'Yushalayim, all of Yushalayim, you know, in the city of Yushalayim. Now, he's holding on to Kochim, and inadvertently, without realizing it, he took them outside the city of Yushalayim. They're Pasul Naomi Din Yotze. Does he have to go back and retrace his steps? So, Misha Yotze Mishalayim Niska Sheish Biyotze B'Sar Kodesh, and it was possible Yotze, is now he has to come and burn it inside the city of Yerushalayim. Im Avar Tzofim, Tzofim is the outside lookout places where you could see Yerushalayim. If he passed beyond Tzofim, then that's considered that he's way, way beyond the city limits. Is Sarfo Bimkomo, we're not going to require that he do the whole Tircha to come back to Yerushalayim to burn Kodshim Kal. Shenifsel. But Vim Lav is Choser V'Sarfo Lefnei Abira. Now, what does Im Lav mean? Let's say he is now beyond those bounds, right? He's in a place called Sofim. Well, Rashi identifies it as a specific place, and Tosa sees the word Sofim as a generic term for anywhere on the outskirts of Yerushalayim from where you can see the city of Yerushalayim. Now, if he's within the bounds of Tzofim, then he burns the chametz in Yerushalayim, meaning he has to take a trek and retrace his steps from Tzofim back to Yerushalayim. If he's past Tzofim, then he burns the kodshim shenifsalu bimkom mo, wherever he finds himself. And he doesn't have to go back to Yerushalayim. But v'im lav, chozer v'sarfo lefnei abir. If he hasn't passed Tzofim, then he has to go to a place called lefnei habira. And that's a place outside the Azara, on the Harabayis, which was designated for the burning of Kodshim Kalim Shenifsel. And then, if he does so, and he makes it to the Bira, then Atzei Maruch. He doesn't have to shell out and run around and try to buy logs for the purpose of setting up a campfire and burning Kodshim Kalim Shenifsalu. We're going to supply it with the logs that were designated for the Maracha. Right? You donate Eitzim for the Eish Al Gabi Mizbeach, the Maracha. And included in your donation is the possibility that if somebody urgently needs to burn Kodshim, and we force them to retrace the steps in order to fulfill that mitzvah, we will be nice, and our gesture will be that we give him the Atzei Amarocha and allow him to use those Eitzim as fuel for his first fire. And finally, we have a three-way machlokes at the end of the Mishnah, kama heim chozrim. V'yad kama chozrim, when he has to go back in order to burn his chametz, or in order to burn his kodshim shenifsalu, how much chametz is there, that minimum amount and volume that requires beer chametz, and he has to go back in order to get back to his mitzvah, but he has enough time, or Basar Kodesh, is Rabbi Meir Omer, Zev is Zev, Bein Chametz, Bein Basar Kodesh, Bekebeitza. Rabbi Yudo Omer, Zev is Zev, Bekezayis. And Chacham Omer, Basar Kodesh, Bekezayis, Vechametz, Bekebeitza. So we have this three-way machlokas, which Amir Tzashem, B'li Neder, we will pick up tomorrow. And I could just tell you up front that intuitively, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is correct, because Zev is Zev Bekezayis. Why should there be any difference between the shear for the mitzvah of destroying chametz, or, for example, the mitzvah of destroying basar kodshim shenifsalu? It's always the shear of Kezayis. Okay, then, this is where we'll stop, and we'll finish the Mishnah B'li Neder tomorrow.